Safe.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Time right now is 8:30. Good Friday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And this morning you can see my handsome young guest from the city of Villa Rica on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. This morning we're joined by Villa Rica Mayor Leslie McPherson and, for the first time ever, Interim City Manager Diane DeSanto. Maybe next time she comes in she'll have a different title in the city of Villa Rica. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy
Colin.
Christmas.
Happy
yeah,
Christmas.
Still enjoying the Christmas season. The traffic on the way down was great.
Yeah. We're going to spend the next 28 minutes talking about Diana's new vacuum cleaner.
That'll be interesting.
It turned out to be the best present among us three. It's end of the year. It's the time for reflection and looking into the new year. And we're trying to do this with as many municipalities and counties as we can. So appreciate you guys coming down here to reflect and give us a nice positive view for the future of Villa Rica. Anything you guys want to touch on before I get started, before I start reaching out all this, this happened then, this happened then, this happened then, any kind of bold statements you want to make? Or
I think it's just great to start a new year without reflecting too much on the past. It was rugged the first 6 months of last year. New management as of July 1st, when Jeff came in as interim and you came on about a week later. Mm-hmm. And not that we weren't doing things before that. I was working on things from the very beginning with establishing those relationships with both counties, right? Douglas County, Carroll mm-hmm. County, and everything. But having y'all come in that month to me was like a game changer. And the only other thing I'd say in regards to that is so much has happened that it's hard to imagine that was just July. And we're still in December. I know mm-hmm. it's almost January, but we've just now started to, really maybe get our feet under mm-hmm. ourselves and get ready for a new year. So, yeah.
And so Diana was appointed interim city manager. It was November, 1st of November.
Yeah, November 1. So,
it's six,
really.
A six-month kind of probation period. But you, because of legislation, the legislation that Jay Collins did, changing mm-hmm. the charter, it'll be ultimately be your decision. Right on who the next city manager is?
Correct.
And what will you be looking for? What does Diana have to mess up not to get this job?
It'd be really good if she doesn't go shooting out windows of vehicles and other things and stores that we heard on the news today. Yeah. That would be really helpful. That would probably be a no-go. Now,
I'll count that. I'll put that in.
No, I feel blessed, and I just feel so comforted. Even when we started in July, and now with Diana in there and her experience, and I'm sure it was like drinking through a fire hose, coming
well, it has
in just
been rapid.
So much
yeah,
to
Jay
learn.
Came in as deputy city manager. Yeah, yeah it's definitely happening.
Yeah, to Villa Rica and all that we needed to do, and we've got a lot of infrastructure things. We've got our challenges, but to be honest, gosh, we've got so many good citizens that love our city and community. And they're willing to help. I mean, we got great volunteers, too.
And I've heard nothing but good things about Diana, about just handling things well and just being chill was one of the phrases, too, you know, handling all this. So congratulations. We look forward to hearing good stuff out of 2025 from you. Now, this goes back to December 12th, and this is what I wrote. Billerica City Council this week unanimously voted to pick up where they left off and directed city staff to negotiate property easements and acquisitions along Cleghorn, Darden, McCauley, North Carroll, and Gordon Street. What is that? What can you guys tell us about that? 2 weeks ago, can you tell us anything about that process?
Really, the biggest update on that is that all the work behind the scenes in terms of surveying and appraisals is just about completed. We've got almost all the packages put together, and in the next week or so, we will be sitting down with the consultants facilitating that process and working through property owners each one at a time, and hope to present either at January or February or a combination of both some purchase and sale agreements that are agreed upon by all parties.
Now, that connector, it was initially in one position, but I think this time, I mean, after you guys did some studies for a six-month period or whatever, it's actually been moved a little bit to the, west?
Slightly.
No, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah, maybe south.
Yeah, okay,
slightly south.
Yeah. So it has moved a little bit. I mean, are less properties affected by that potentially?
Less homes.
Less homes.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
And I was told, I mean, there have been some really outspoken people in that area about, you know, maybe just not being communicated with properly and things like that. But I've also been told that there's probably just as many, if not more, property owners that are excited about this potentially, and they're just not getting their voices out. Perhaps they're uncomfortable being the spokespeople, you know, for supporting this. Is that accurate? Have you seen that?
I would say that's an accurate statement from what I've heard. Definitely, vocally, we've heard a lot of negative. We've done our best to support a forum where everyone's voice can be heard. But, you know, essentially it is up to every individual to express either their opinion, whether it be negative or positive, in terms of the actual property owners impacted by the route, directly impacted by the route. I've not heard anyone directly come to me and say, I would not be willing to negotiate a sale with you.
Time right now is 8:35. Again, my guests from the city of Villarica. We've got Mayor Leslie McPherson and Interim City Manager Diana DeSanto. Questions and comments, feel free to post those on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I'll look at those during the break.
Hey, Colin, if I could just add on to that, we have a couple properties that are actually for sale and eager to sell. Yes, there's people that are positive, but the other thing is there's some people, they aren't loud, but they have legitimate concerns. And I found that if you take the time to talk to them personally and address those concerns, because they'll see something on the news or they'll hear something, and, you know, they just have legitimate questions and concerns.
And I think that was
the
initial concern.
And often you can allay those if you take the time.
Sure, yeah. And I think that was the initial concern. That was they just didn't feel like they were being treated fairly and communicated with. So, this also, I believe, was in December, and I wrote this. 2.5 years after a 90-year-old structure off of West Bankhead Highway in Villarica was demolished, the city's mayor and city council were discussing potential usage for that site. It's the former Butterballs Auto Garage, and it was demolished in 2022. What's the latest on those discussions? I know you guys did talk a little bit at the meeting. What can you tell
you
us about that?
You might know the update. My thing is just to make sure it happens, you know.
But what happens?
That property does not sit there looking like it does now. You know, it had the old building, now it's just there with some weeds and dirt.
Does it have the billboard anymore?
Pardon?
The billboard was taken down,
no,
right?
No, billboard's gone. It's pivotable.
Pivotable?
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
Right. No,
oh,
you're
yeah.
Right. Yeah, you got
right there in our downtown. You cannot miss it if you drive through downtown. At the very least, I thought, okay, let's just sod it. Let's just sod it and put some tables. Great but space. We actually do have a plan. And council, over the years, has expressed a desire to do something, has allocated money toward it. You might know the latest update, because I know we're still working with Falcon Design on, you know, who are the engineers, on doing something there that's more temporary. I don't want to say temporary, but not brick and mortar, where you can do something a little bit new, fangled, so that until you're ready maybe to do something brick and mortar, you can have a structure there that serves a purpose, like a coffee shop and some green space, put up a little fencing, some tables, and have something that's useful for the community that we don't have downtown. Shipping containers, we're talking about.
I was going to ask you about those, too.
There are some plans. Yeah. That's one. We had a couple. You know, we've had a few. That was the latest one. But I haven't seen what Falcon Design's doing, the latest. You have anything on that?
Just to add to that, GDOT did approve our right turn in and out, the ingress and egress, because that property does have some challenges kind of being that corner lot right there. So we do have that approved. But ultimately, I think this is a really good opportunity with a public-private partnership to get our Downtown Development Authority involved and really see this project over the finish line, working with local developers and really kind of getting input on the best use for that property. There are renderings for a coffee shop. I think at one point in time there was potential for a welcome center there, but definitely an opportunity there for a public-private partnership with our Downtown Development Authority.
Okay. The you mentioned the shipping containers, which goes, is there an ordinance in Billerica?
We approved one. Has it been within the last 12 months? I was thinking
2023, I believe.
Okay.
So yeah. Where can those go? I mean, I can't imagine they're going to look great everywhere, but maybe in certain places they look artsy and creative. And
there's a plan over where the Robbie's Tire Shop was. Mm-hmm. That's torn down now. It's at the Chief Street Railroad Crossing.
Okay.
And that was the initial kind of thing that came forward for where we allowed them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think landscape's really important. No matter what you do, I mean, you can have a beautiful house, but if your landscape is crappy looking, everything else, so what you do around it with greenery can make all the difference in what you put in there. But yeah, I think we definitely want something that would look well.
It is interesting. I mean, but would it be mostly house a restaurant or like a hip little retail shop, or what would you guys see going in those?
Well, in the one, it's not really ours that's doing it. I mean, that's private, business people.
Sure.
Totally.
But you wouldn't poo-poo on anything that they brought before city council. I mean, they wouldn't have to rezone it if that's what it was already. I mean, if you guys zoned it for that. Okay. Time right now is 8:40, and we're talking with Billerica Mayor Leslie McPherson and Interim City Manager Diana DeSanto for City of Billerica. We'll take our first break, come back, and continue our conversation. Community Voice is brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius Strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be, too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest this morning from the City of Billerica, Interim City Manager Diana DeSanto and Billerica Mayor Leslie McPherson have joined us. Again, I'll give you one last call. If you've got any questions or comments, to put those on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I'll look at those during the next break and share those during the final segment. The Tax Allocation District, where are we with that? I mean, is Billerica, still struggling to meet promises things that they have to do with that, or is that all just working out the way you wanted it to work out at this point?
I'll go first if you don't mind.
No, that's definitely you.
I will say we'll have more information on that in the spring for sure. A lot of it depends on, you know, where every item's at once it's assessed come January 1 through the tax assessor's office. I will say we were probably a little behind target on some of the developments coming on board in terms of making sure that tax basis, that post-development tax basis gets where we need it to get to help pay that bond debt.
And to pay that bond, is that if you guys don't meet that at a certain time, the city has to pay that at a general fund?
That's correct.
Okay, and maybe 1 or 2 years. But you still have to, I mean, it could happen for 1 or 2 years, but you're still optimistic.
It's possible. I'm very optimistic, especially with some of the projections we're seeing on the inline side in terms of the townhomes and single family homes that are going to be coming forward in the spring.
Single family homes. Let's talk about multifamily homes. There's a moratorium on those in the city of Villarrica, and had a 6-month moratorium, and now we're in another 6 months. I guess explain the rationale in that and, you know, what that means to the city and what you guys hope to accomplish after the next 6 months, or if there's another 6-month moratorium after that.
Well, I think it became obvious from speaking to citizenry, hundreds of doors, and just what was out there on social media and just all your personal contact that you get on a local level that you don't get when you're in Congress and that sort of thing. You get a lot of personal contact with people, and all of us felt that, we started looking at everything that was popping up, everything that came back online that had crashed during 08, and just saying, whoa, let's put the brakes on a little bit. So, I think it was June. I believe it was June that I was able to pull some data that was already I had in a file and present that to the council, put it up on the screen, people to see the developments that were already approved, what was coming online. So it had stars all on a map, and it had the numbers all in what will come in with this development, how many people with this one. And council was agreeable, which was wonderful, to putting that moratorium on, and we just renewed it for another 6 months. Mm-hmm. Now, that won't alter things that are already pre-approved.
How many, you know, how many residences do you think that is?
Oh, gosh.
Is it thousands?
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
Between all development, all residential coming on right now, you're looking at thousands.
Yeah. How long was the timeline for those?
We are actually working with the developers now to get updated timelines from each. As she mentioned, the star map, we keep a running list, both residential, Carroll, and Douglas County side. And we do it for a number of reasons. We're looking at transportation. We're looking at water. We're looking at sewer. We're looking at all things capacity and trying to understand how that's going to impact us 1, 2, and 3 years down the line.
Yeah, that'd be helpful mm-hmm. to know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the fact is, depending on the economy, I realize some of those things will just fall off. They'll disappear. Mm. I can remember things that were planned for and then, you know, 3-4 years later going, whatever happened to such and such? It didn't materialize. Maybe they lost their investors or, you know, between COVID and other things that happened that slowed things down. So that's why I think you really have to watch zoning. And I've told people as much as possible, when we do those comprehensive plans, that is the time to be there at those input sessions, because that's when we plan land use for the future. Mm-hmm. Citizens really need to be involved in those. And participate and be heard.
I mean, the school system's happy about the fact. I mean, the moratorium too. I mean, I've seen quotes and comments just on papers they put out. I mean, they're happy that there has been no growth for that, and they don't expect it for the next 6 months. I mean, because they need to add on to that as well.
Yeah, and for a period of time, we've been communicating with one another a lot more.
Especially since the TAD, right?
Yeah,
right.
And partnering and listening, you know, what the county desires, because we all live out here together, right? And so we need to all work together.
There's a moratorium on vape shops as well. Mm-hmm. Now, the city of Carrollton, they worked out an ordinance. They did a moratorium, and then they worked out an ordinance, which basically says, I mean, David Brooks, city manager, his quote is, it basically means you can't build a vape shop within Carrollton city limits. Is that, we see something similar like that for Villarrica once this moratorium is over?
That's not where we are, but we are looking at it. We're discussing it. And that's why, since we weren't quite ready on where we wanted to be exactly, we went ahead and extended it, because it involves, tobacco shops, this and that. And what are you going to do then when it's a convenience store that sells some of those products compared to just vape shops? Ours can be, 500 feet from one another. You could have three in the same shopping center. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so I think we just got to, you know, hash it out and work through it. Now, I'm a little bit more protective of our downtown area. So when we're talking about, you know, tattoo parlors, which I don't have a problem with most private businesses, but when you're looking at your historic downtown, a little bit more protective. And I think the council as a whole is as to what we do in our historical area. Same reason you don't do big box stores down there. That's what makes your city unique. I like going in the big stores. That's great. We all do that. But when you want to maintain that historic nature of a little city, that's what makes you different. When people drive through, if you have, and I don't want to say, yeah, we have a Walmart, we have the Home Depots, but that's not what makes you unique. You can go anywhere and go to those. But your mom and pop shops, your little antique stores and things like that. So I think we're a little bit more protective of that area.
Sticking downtown, are there have there been any recent discussions with Norfolk Southern or anybody about building a kind of crossover for the train tracks or any other remedy for that?
Unless you've had any, no. And, you know, the fact is, we do have a rendering of one of those. Years ago, there was talk about the tunnel under, but how much footage do you need?
Well, even for a crossover, I can't imagine how much room you're going to
need
for
that. Where does it come? And then you have people like me that go, what's it take 10 minutes for me to get up there, get across? I'm just going to walk across, but that's me. It is not safe right now. People want us to be pedestrian friendly. A field trip was taken. I wasn't on this particular one. It was down to Hapeville. And it basically showed, and we have renderings of this. I think we might, I don't know if we have a video, but we definitely have some ideas on how to do an at-grade crossing where, you know, you kind of, because of the drop-off.
We're talking for pedestrians then, for you guys talking. Okay, I mean, I was thinking like Kids Temple. I mean, I think Norfolk Southern and GDOT actually reached out to them and were trying to help them write a grant so they could, you know, do a, you know, crossover for traffic. I mean, is it?
Oh,
is
you're
that,
talking about traffic.
Yeah, well, is that not a bigger?
They had that really steep one that I remember from years ago. Would have the same problem that we did at Chiefs, but we have a number of crossings down there.
Yeah.
It's very rare that we would ever be in their situation where their entire downtown would be blocked for hours. You couldn't get over the schools, so it's bad when it blocks Cleghorn, sometime Old Connors. But they don't disable us downtown in the same way. We really haven't talked about, I mean,
about
now and then
that,
there's been talk. They would love for us to close anything. But when they, sorry, but when they stop blocking some of our roads, then I think we might be open to closing a crossing. But you kind of want those alternatives if you have two places closed off.
Sure. Time right now is 8:51. We'll take our final break and come back and continue our conversation with Mayor Villarica and Interim City Manager. Community Voice is brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, our final segment with our guests this morning from the city of Villarica. We've got Mayor Leslie McPherson and Interim City Manager Diana DeSanto. Again, thank you guys for coming out this morning. The there's a been talk about a bypass in Villarica for about 30 years, and but we felt like there's been progress over the last three or four years. What do you guys have a latest on that?
completion 2025. We're very excited. We were able to add on a water line extension to the project to enhance future growth, certainly future growth there. So we're really excited about what all it's going to do for our commuters, for our downtown, and safety of our roadways as well.
Getting the trucks out of downtown. You know, you would have heard that before I even lived in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Trucks downtown, and that's the thing about the state roads. We don't control it. Once it's given over to GDOT or they already own it, you know, if we were to give a road to them, for instance, I mean, you can do that, but you have to realize the downside is you lose complete control. You don't do anything on that road or across that road without permission. But anyway, yeah, no, it's coming through. I see it all the time. My mom's at Ashbrook Assisted Living, so I drive across that section. I have family up 61, up Dallas Highway, so I'm seeing where the new roundabout is coming in that's really going to move things along, and it'll take the pressure off that small roundabout that's mm-hmm. right there at Punkintown Road.
The will Villa Rica have a say as far as the zoning on that bypass?
Well,
I mean, do you want to see gas stations up there? I mean, we're going to, you know, residential alongside of it. Any idea about that?
Fortunately, Villa Rica actually owns a good portion of some of the properties on the other side. At least our industrial board has some ownership there. So I do think we'll have a good bit of say in the future on what gets built along the bypass.
Good deal. So that conversation will have to come up in the next year.
And plus, all the way up to Dallas Highway, a lot of people don't realize. They know the bypass is coming, but what they have to realize at that point, 61 no longer comes into that downtown area. Mm-hmm. We that becomes ours. We own it. We can do what we want with Main Street. We can control mm-hmm. the speed limit. We can redesign our downtown. And then when you get on by Happy Valley Church there at Dallas Highway and head north, that stretch that is state highway all becomes ours, up past in front of the hospital, up to the little roundabout.
Got about 4 minutes. I want to mm-hmm. I want to give you guys at least 2.5 minutes to say good positive stuff about the future of Villa Rica. But I did want to ask about this. That property off of 61, that multi-use or a planned use development, and it was granted for developers several years ago, the long-discussed Avamore project. There was concerns this time. A lot of people were talking about their hearing that, you know, a data system was coming out there that you guys allowed for their zoning to last another year, but that does not include the ability to put a data center in there. I mean, would you be against that data center? I mean, just based on the community's concern, if they decided they wanted to come back and ask and add that, because that could still be a possibility, I guess, in the next year.
I would just say for myself, to make a decision or give an opinion on something where I don't feel like I would have the questions answered, you know, that I would need.
Right, that's what they haven't done. You guys asked them several things to update things.
I know some about data centers based on even Douglas County, and just because I read incessantly articles and all, and what they require and everything else. So for me, it would depend on the details.
But otherwise, it's calling for like 900 separate residences,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And but still no guarantee that's going to happen.
Yeah, and there's other industry that you could have as well. So it'll just depend on, you know, what is proposed, what's the specifics on it, what it would demand of us, what it would give to us. So you have to weigh your pros and cons.
I was optimistic. It'd be done by the time I was, I think, 55 years old, right? Is that the age for it? I mean, I figured it'd be done by then.
Yeah, you have the senior part, and so you can.
Because everything was there, right?
Or you can just get on your bike or walk over to, you know, the assisted living. You know, everything all there was some commercial.
I was fine with that. All right, guys, we got 3 minutes. Give me something positive or exciting or just anything you want to say about the city of Villa Rica for 2025.
Well, you can't not be excited about some of the things that are happening downtown. And I think Gabe's coming back is the tip of the iceberg, and I know it seems slow, but let me tell you, there's just an entire redesign. You will not believe it when you walk into that building, even if you took before and after pictures. And that's only the beginning. That helps the businesses that are aside from
it's
there.
It's almost like an anchor store then, I guess.
Yeah, and the city is constructing behind there additional parking that will service both the mill and any businesses there, with sidewalks and the WIC buildings back there. Right. You'll see the landscape going in. You got to come down. That's going to push the redesign and the I would say upgrading of what almost appears like an alleyway back there on Church Street. The back of those businesses, I think you'll see that entire area transform, and they're just the beginning. We have another business owner, local business guy, that has a whole plan for what he wants to do on the backside out of the basement area of Gabe's. And it's a tough time for small business. When you even see some of our small businesses downtown, you know, hanging on by their fingernails, you know, the whole shop local, making that a vibrant area. And I really believe even bringing that, connecting the Douglas County side to the Carroll County side and the two sections of town will assist that as well.
Ladies, thank you. Diana DeSanto, hope you can remain chill for the next 4 months.
Thank you.
And I'm honestly apparently doing a good job. I mean, that's all I've
seen. I was going to say, I don't know about chill because she works like a dog. So maybe there's maybe a way to do that.
She does it without,
yeah,
she does it without looking angry and stressed out, apparently. So, ladies, thank you. And happy Christmas and happy New Year. And thank you for watching and listening this morning to The Community Voice. I think on Monday, Steve Graddick has booked Michelle Morgan. He's always jumping ahead and stealing my guests. Yeah, you know that. But yeah, that'll be the program on Monday, hosted by Steve Graddick. Community Voice is always brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.